Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. The reading from Sacred Scripture comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And the Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. Today's message is titled, The Cup, The Cross. From the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, beginning at the 31st verse. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. Because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Here ends the reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Psalm 119, beginning of verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Here ends the reading from Psalm 119. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, You are my son. Today I have become your father. And he says in another place, You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Here ends the reading from Hebrews chapter 5. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 10, beginning of verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We're going up to Jerusalem, he said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left hand in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right hand, sit at my right or left, is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 had heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and the things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer from the Gelesium Sacramentary. Invaders! Run! Hide! The tumult filled the cries of danger. Neighbors running, seeking safety. Hide! Run! Hide! The invaders quickly overran the area. Many were killed. Many taken captive. Plunder, oh, plunder gathered, and soon they returned to the ships to cross back over the waters to where they came from. In the hold of one of these ships, laden with plunder, was a 16-year-old boy, taken from his home, viciously taken from his life of ease. This 16-year-old boy had grown up in a family that would be considered pretty much middle class of that era. Parents, Christian. Grandparents, Christian. As a matter of fact, his grandfather had been a priest and his father a deacon. Is a deacon. But this boy, this 16-year-old boy by that time, he wanted nothing to do with the faith of his fathers. Freely admitting he did not believe it at all. Now, torn from ease and safety of his home, to experience deprivation and loneliness as a slave, watching over sheep in the mountains and in the woods through all sorts of weather, the year is about 400 A.D. That 16-year-old boy, his slave, was to watch over his master's sheep, and he better take good care of those sheep. The land he's living in now is a brutal land, tribal wars, pagan worship, human sacrifice too. Oh, he better serve his master well, or else. In the mountains and in those woods, all sorts of weather came and gone, and All alone, the lad began to pray. As prayers came, more prayers came. Soon his time, all through the day and all through the night, were filled with words of prayer. Prayer that brought God the Father and God the Son, Jesus the Christ. And God the Holy Spirit brought God into his heart. 1 year captivity as a slave became two, then three, soon 4 years a slave out in that wilderness, suffering underneath all kinds of weather, rain, snow, ice, 5 years. And then during the sixth year of captivity, a vision came to him. These moments of his life, they are recounted in his memoir. It's titled, The Confessions. Excuse me, The Confession. Written in the confession, after I arrived in Ireland, I tended sheep every day. And I prayed frequently during the day. More and more the love of God increased and my sense of awe before God. Faith grew and my spirit was moved so that in one day I would pray up to 100 times. Sometime then in the sixth year, a voice came to him. Voice said, "Look, your ship is ready." A ship ready to take him home. But to get to that ship was nearly impossible. He had to travel 200 miles to get to the coast. He had to escape being a slave. And traveling carefully, he was an escaped slave. He had to reach the coast. And he reached the coast. He traveled those 200 miles. And there was the ship that was in his vision. Yet the captain wouldn't take him aboard. So with those 6 years or so of prayer in the mountain experience, the lad turned to prayer. The captain's heart changed. It softened and took the lad on board and sailed him home to Britain. He restored to his family, and the next 12 years, it flew by as he studied for the priesthood. And then another vision came. In the vision, a letter came, accompanied by voice. "We beg you, holy boy, to come and walk among us again." Those words of the vision could not be shaken. And so soon, Patrick, that's the name he took when he was ordained a priest, Patrick would leave his family, leave his home, and return to the land and to the people who had enslaved him years earlier. This is how the confession begins. "My name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person, and the least of all believers. I am looked down upon by many." With these words, then, in the next section, "It was there," that is in Ireland, watching the sheep, "that the Lord opened up my awareness of my lack of faith. Even though it came about late, I recognized my failings. So I turned with all my heart to the Lord, my God. And he looked down on my lowliness, and he had mercy on my youthful ignorance. He guarded me before I knew him, and before I came to wisdom and could distinguish between good and evil. He protected me and consoled me as a father does for his son." And then these words are written, "That is why I cannot be silent, nor would it be good to do so about such great blessings and such a gift that the Lord so kindly bestowed in the land of my captivity. This is how we can repay such blessing when our lives change and we come to know God, to praise and bear witness to his great wonders before every nation under heaven." What took place in Patrick's life, it really does echo these words from Jeremiah in Psalm 119 that we heard this morning. From the Psalm 119, "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your command." And then from Jeremiah, from verse 33, it's written, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." Patrick would leave his home in Britain once again and go to the land of captivity. And he writes, I am ready to be murdered, betrayed, enslaved, whatever may come my way. Crossing the Irish Sea, this time as a slave for Christ, and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a pagan land, still brutal, with clannish warlords fighting, druids worship sacrifices, and the nobility saw him as a threat, a foreign threat. The druids even warned the king to stop Patrick before Ireland was changed forever. There's much more to St. Patrick's fascinating life story. Yes, the reality of miracles are recounted. Wonders from the wonder-working God. What we see in Patrick's life of serving, we see these words of Christ spoken as recorded in Mark 10. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Becoming a servant, becoming a slave. These are challenging words, difficult words to live by. For we, our human nature, if we really, really would prefer to have others wait upon us, meet our needs, meet our requests, serve us, we really prefer that than becoming a slave? Years ago, September 1995, I was out west. I've shared this story with others, but the context fits here too. Out west with my mom for vacation. And we were in Wyoming, starting to make our way back home. And one of our last stops would be visit my cousin at the Abar A Ranch in Encampment, Wyoming, in the Medicine Bow Mountains. Nearly 100,000 acres make up this guest ranch. And if you want to, you can go to the webpage, Abar A Ranch. It comes up really easily on the internet, Abar A Ranch Encampment, Wyoming. At that time, my cousin was the ranch foreman of the ranch, and he lived on the ranch with his family year-round. We arrived to stay at the cabin, and news came a special guest was coming to entertain for the retreat party guests. None other than one of my most favorite musicians, John Denver. My cousin said that we could stay with them an extra night if we liked to listen. So there I was, standing outside of the porch of the historic round room with the other ranch hands, listening to John Denver through one of the windows slightly raised open so we could hear the live sound as we were standing outside on the porch in the snow. For snow had fallen in September, about 4 inches. Now, what is interesting is that John Denver had sent ahead a specific menu request of what is necessary to be provided for him before he would perform. My cousin played host to him and provided exactly as requested. My cousin served Mr. Denver, expected to be served. Celebrity contract demands. You know those backstage riders? Serve me, I demand. If you want a glimpse of the foibles of the famous, read some of the contract riders demanded by them. And you'll find out how out of place their hearts have come when compared to these words of Christ that are to be taken deep to the heart. Christ said that he came to serve and give his life. So let's step back and ponder what prompted this teaching of Christ recorded in Mark 10 here. A few verses earlier, Mark 10, Jesus very clearly tells what is to come, what is to happen to him in Jerusalem. Mark 10, beginning of verse 32, they're on the way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We're going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. The feeling of amazement in the disciples, it really means fear. Amazed, this is going to happen, and we're going up to Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem is built on top of Mount Moriah. So we're going up to Jerusalem. This is going to happen. So the disciples are amazed. He's leading them there. But also they're afraid of what's going to come. I mean, Jesus plainly tells the 12 what's going to happen in Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed, condemned to death, mocked, spit upon, flogged, killed. And Jesus is leading the way with determination to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well what awaits. There is heroic and courageous strength demonstrated here in Jesus. Because the things are going to happen, and he's determined to go there. The Greek word translated as to happen is fascinating in its depth of meaning. The New Testament word is sombaino, and it refers to God's providence. God orders the elements of life so as to come together to work in conjunction with his eternal purposes. Things will come to head at Passover in Jerusalem. Now remember, Jesus has been to Jerusalem at other Passovers. But now things are coming all together in God's providence. In Jerusalem, it's coming to head. With all the imagery and depth of meaning of the Passover lamb, the blood, death passing over, along with deliverance from bondage, in Jerusalem, Jesus will suffer and die. God's providence is ordering this, the things of life, to fulfill the will of God. 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus is not only pointing to his suffering death, Jesus was pointing to the reality of his rising. 3 days later, he will rise. Now, after this extraordinary, significant teaching, the specific reason Jesus came, James and John come to Jesus with a request. Can we sit at your right and your left hand when you come into your glory? Jesus recently was speaking of the work of salvation of mankind. And now James and John are asking about seats of importance, not contemplating of the coming suffering of their teacher. James and John absorbed in what might they gain? Jesus, with his face set toward Jerusalem, to lay down his life in humble service to all mankind, in loving obedience to the Father. These two disciples wondering, what's in it for me? Trying to secure the foremost places of the right and the left. Jesus answers, Mark 10, verse 38, you don't know what you are asking. Jesus said, can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I baptize with? Do you really understand what you're asking? Do you not know the path to reach those places involves suffering? Didn't you hear what I recently said, what awaited me in Jerusalem? Can you drink the cup I drink? Baptized as I am baptized? Both of these statements of Jesus mean the same. Can you take the portion given to me to be yours too? The two answer, we can. Yes, the two, James and John, they will drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism Jesus is baptized with. Yes, they will suffer. But the places of honor, the right and the left, these places belong to those whom they have been prepared for. The Father prepared those places for the right and left for someone the Father will place him there. Jesus called them all together. I mean, the cup. I mean, all of this is going on. The cup means the cross. The baptism is suffering and death. A brutal death that is coming in Jerusalem. The other 10 disciples got wind of what James and John asked, and they became very angry. They were indignant. You see, the disciples always didn't always get along. I mean, they had arguments amongst themselves. Jesus called them together to straighten them out. Begin now at verse 42, Mark 10. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them." Let this next statement of Jesus really sink in. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The way to places of honor is through serving. Become a slave to all. "Look at me, I, God Almighty, came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." Of anyone that who should have been served would be Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. God Almighty. Instead, here you have God Almighty came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The Greek word translated as ransom literally means ransom money, the price to free a slave. The word occurs only two times in the New Testament. It's in Mark's account and Matthew's account of this interaction following James and John's request. Both places refer to the ransom price which Christ will pay with his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood. Look at the ways of the world, the ways rulers want to lord over others. That has been happening through the centuries and through the eons, and it's gaining strength in these days too, because there's groups of people that want to rule the whole world with one government over the world. Verse 43, this is the English from the Greek word order. "Not thus, however, shall it be among you." Not thus, however, shall it be among you. So this is the world's way of doing it. Not so with you. And then you get that word instead. So instead of the way of the world, instead, be a slave. Be a servant. I mean, how can you see the contrast and the difference more than that? Not so with you. It means be a servant and slave of all. In the New Testament, the word slave is doulos. Doulos expresses what believers come with regard to Christ's authority. And doulos, becoming a slave of Christ, is seen as the highest dignity. The highest of dignities in the New Testament for believers to willingly live under Christ's authority as Christ's devoted followers. How many times did Paul refer to himself as a slave of Christ, a doulos of Christ? Hebrews 5, beginning at verse 7. "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his relevant submission." Excuse me. "He was heard because of his reverent submission." Reverent submission. "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." Through the suffering, the cup, the cross, obedience was brought to its completion, fulfilling the word of God. That's what it means he was made perfect. Because the word perfect also means to bring to completion. So through obedience, he brought to completion and fulfilling the word of God. I mean, it's best shown in the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you are willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but thy will be done. He came to that perfect obedience. The cup, the cross, and now through them, Christ, the eternal source, the only source of eternal salvation. Christ, the only source of eternal salvation. For the next 30 years, Patrick humbly served the people of Ireland. The longing to go home, to be home with family, he stayed with the people he had grown to love. Towards the end of Patrick's confessions, he writes, "But what can I say? Or what can I promise to my Lord? There is nothing I have that is not his gift to me. But he knows the depth of my heart, my very gut feelings. He knows that it is enough that I desire very much and am ready for this, that he would grant me to drink of his chalice. Just as he is pleased to do for others who loved him." A little bit farther down, "Again and again, I briefly put before you the words of my confession. I testify in truth and in great joy of heart before God and his holy angels that I never had any other reason for returning to that nation from which I had earlier escaped except the gospel and God's promises." Now, how many today, St. Patrick's Day, will recall or think upon these words of St. Patrick as they lift a cup of stout ale? And dressed in their green and partying, will the reality of the true cup, the cross of Christ, come to mind? Or as Patrick wrote, as you just heard in his confessions, "Would grant me to drink of his chalice." Patrick died March 17th, 461. Yet in Christ, his Lord and Savior, Patrick lives on with that gift of eternal salvation in Christ. This too is yours in Christ. Remember the cup, the cross, and grow in the fullness of what it means to be a doulos, a slave of Christ. For in living in Christ, for Christ, as a slave of Christ, who knows what great things God may do through you? A whole land was transformed by Patrick humbly serving. What great things are yet to come as we worship the God of wonders, as we break the bread and lift the cup and see before us the cross and all Christ has done for us in the finished work of the cross. Christ, the source of our eternal salvation. Amen and amen.